for starters, you're out in Russia. How are things out in Moscow and in Russia right now with this whole madness of the pandemic we're suffering through?
You know what? We're going through like a tough next couple of weeks. It's kind of like New York. So that's it's a lockdown. So basically, you cannot get out outside if you don't have a pass, a special pass. You got to have a mobile pass, and then you can go to a grocery store or you can go to a pharmacy. That's it. If you're outside without that, so you got to pay a big fine or they're going to put you in a jail. So basically, it's wow. really strict. Yeah. So I think it's going to be until like May 11th, and my kind of my guess is going to be extended to 1st of June.
Wow.
It's been
well,
55
stay safe.
Days now. I've been locked down in Moscow 55 days now today.
Since oh I got my God. Are you doing okay?
No, I'm doing okay. So I'm cooking and reading and watching some. Apple TV and get ready for the World Juniors in Edmonton in December. So kind of like doing some like drills and kind of looking to see like the players I'm going to choose for the World Juniors next year and do some workouts and you know other than that. So that's it's simple, every day the same.
You know? Okay, Groundhog Day every day. Go ahead, Berkey.
Okay, Igor, let's talk about the really important question. How's the red wine supply?
You know what, Brian? I got 12 cases. I have 12 cases. In the beginning, I had like 18. Now, so it's like 12 left. So basically, I got like two glasses of red tonight. So I had like kind of like a little bit of vegetarian meal. So and I had a couple of whites. So Austrian, nice white Grunel Veltliner. So very good wine. So it's all good.
So talk about Igor. When I first met you, you came to Vancouver. You were such a great addition for us. Talk about your time in Vancouver.
Well, first of all, I guess when I arrived August 16th, that's I remember that day. And well, I signed in July 1st, 89, and Pat Quinn and Cliff Fletcher came to Moscow. So and then when you picked me up, Brian, so you know at the airport on the 16th of August, so. I was so like so happy. I was so excited to come to new like a new page of my life, a new adventure, and obviously yourself and the club and the organization had a great hospitality. Make my kind of transition not an easy one because you know when you're 29, you know you're not 18, so you got the patience like to get have some time. But I guess with your help. And the help with Pat and Bob McCannon and Rick Lee and Griffith's family, so and the players. That was to me like fantastic, like to be in that great city and the great hockey environment. And obviously, it's you know I was happy to be the first Russian to come to Vancouver.
We're with Igor Larionov, who joins us from Moscow right now. Go ahead, Stewie.
Igor, I see that you're doing some stuff, you know, with the youth and minor hockey in Russia there. I actually follow your account, Igor Larionov, Hockey Gym on Instagram there. So it's great stuff. And how has the minor hockey and junior hockey progressed over the last 15, 20 years in Russia?
You know what? You're touching such a deep subject. You know, like it's it's been six months, you know, since I kind of came back and I accepted the job as a senior advisor for the Federation and also, as you might know, so I was behind the bench for the World Juniors in the U-20. So that's what I'm trying to figure out. Like after being away for 30 years and coming back like maybe 5-6 days, like the last like 15, 20 years, like to see my dad and see my family and a couple of friends. So but now, so I'm kind of constantly here so and trying to see what's going on. So and I can tell you right now, so... to be honest, we still produce some talent, but not that kind of like rare talent like it used to be. So I guess it's everywhere. But I'm looking forward to like kind of with optimism. So I know we have some issues with the economy and we got some issues with like coaches and the youth programs. But now we kind of like kick off the kind of like a new program, Red Machine. And about like kind of like we took the best from around the hockey world, so from Canada, from U.S., from Finland, and put the program for the youth coaches to follow the program to develop individual skill and focus on the players. You know, five years ago, 10 years ago. So it's all about results. So now we're trying to emphasize about like to let the players express themselves. So that's why I'm trying to tell the coaches and try to tell the hockey people. So you got to be patient. You know, that's don't expect the results quick, but they're gonna come. So they're gonna come. So that's what it's right now. So if you see in today's like for example the KHL level and like a few players leaving for for NHL and try to make it, so but it's like I think it's going to be a really hard time for those guys because you know that it's a different level of players coming over right now.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. Igor Larionov's joining us right now from Moscow. The Leafs just signing Mikko Lehtinen, out of the KHL, a talented defenseman who was the highest scoring defender in the KHL this season. What do you know about his game, and how do you see the transition for him coming to the NHL?
You know what, the Europeans, the Finns and Swedes and Germans and Czechs, so they kind of like, it's more easier for them to get used to it because, you know, they first of all, the guys speak English, so that would be easy to get the transition, so like to North American style. Then Finnish D-man, so I saw him play a few times, and obviously Jari Kurri taking over the team as a GM, so and a good coach there, Lauri Marjamäki, so they got some few Canadians there, few Canadian players, and that's the team. I guess the boy played really well, so he scored many points, and he was the key guy on the blue line. So I think Toronto would be happy. So obviously he's going to be in the right environment. So and I've been in contact with Kyle Dubas, you know, the GM of Maple Leafs. So they got some ingredients, they got some skill. So with that skill, now you got to have the right hands, the coach who can put everything together, so and to make that team click and play good hockey and play consistent hockey, entertaining and also successful.
Yeah, well, that's the hope. The Leafs hope they found a little diamond in the rough in Lehtinen. Go ahead, Berkey.
Right.
Igor, tell the listeners about Pavel Bure. I think people, he didn't have as long a career as he might have had without injuries, and so people have missed out on this gem. Tell people about playing with Pavel Bure.
Well, I know Pavel since he was 16. So he joined the Red Army at age 16, you can see right away. So that was a special player. So he made his quick steps to get to the lineup, and he was in have an impact, like a play in the fourth line, actually, with McGillney and the Fedorov, you know, and that's the line we had. So, I think he played one game with us. I think it was Makarov was injured to Krutov. So, that time, so before I came over to North America, so the Vancouver. So, and then when Pavel came, when we, the Canucks, Brian, yourself and the Pat investigate that situation with his draft, you know, and have a right for Vancouver. So when he came over to Vancouver, so to me it was kind of relieved because, you know what, nothing against the players I play with. You know, obviously I play with Trevor Linden and Jeff Portal and Pavel came in, and we had a really good chemistry going, and Pavel came in, so I knew. And he was actually very exciting to start like scoring goals, but I guess because the team doing so well in November that time, he was playing in the fourth line at the beginning. So, and then when we lost a couple of games, and the Pat put Pavel and me and Greg Adams, you know, and you can see like a player like that, you know, it's a rare like you guys say, like a rare diamond. So, yeah, it's today's game, and the game like we're talking about 30 years ago, 92 season, so when Pavel was in Vancouver. So it's very rare when players can play without the puck, They know how to get open. So now you got to have a players who can pass the puck to him. So, and the Pat was making that decision. So, because I played with the Makarov and the Krutov, and have a Pavel Bure and Greg Adams. Greg was kind of like a guy who was taking the creating some space and time for us. And Pavel was kind of like the click right away because he knew, trying to emphasize that time, it's kind of like Jerry Rice and the Joe Montana that time, because Pavel knew how to get open, and the rest of the stuff, Brian, you saw that, he was deadly when he goes one on one against a demon or a goalie. So, and that to me was easy to play. Now you gotta have a two spots from D-man to find me in the open area, like for example in the breakout in defensive zone, and I knew Pyle was gone. So especially it was like it's a foot race, and you gotta put the puck in open space, and Pyle would get it and go in the breakaway, score the goal. That was, it's a treat to play with him, and it was like a treat for the fans in Vancouver and the National Hockey League to see the player like that, dynamic, explosive, and the fun and the skilled. And with his deadly finish in front of the net, that was like a great combination.
You're listening to Igor Larionov talking about Pavel Bure, who was so incredible, that duo together in Vancouver in the early 90s. Go ahead, Anthony Stewart.
You played many years with Steve Yzerman. Could you see him being a GM one day when you were playing with him? And could we see a Russian GM in the NHL one day?
You guys asking this question, so you know Stevie better than anybody else. Stevie... when we played with Stevie, when he finished in 2010 Olympics in Vancouver, and I was talking to Stevie quite often because that time I think him, Kevin Lowe and Peter Chiarelli and a couple other guys traveling around the league, like choosing the players for the Team Canada. Obviously I knew Stevie. He was a quiet guy, but he was very loud when he played. Few words in the locker room when the crucial times, and everybody get it. So that's what I describe Stevie. But he's a tremendous not only the player but the guy who can show by example how you play consistently, how you sacrifice your body for success. That's serious. So and obviously when I saw him being successful in Vancouver, then I saw him back-to-back Olympics in Sochi, I was so happy. That's to me no surprise the guy being successful there, and then Tampa Bay. So now I just spoke to him yesterday, now he's got a big task to rebuild, but it's we chatted a little bit about that yesterday, and also I spoke to Coach Plaschel 2 days ago too, so on a Zoom conference, so trying to help any way I can to create a kind of a game we had like with Scotty Bowman.
Igor, and the second part of Stewie's question was about the potential for a Russian general manager in the NHL.
Well, I guess you know what it's. I don't know. So it's hard to say. I don't think. I think the only Finnish guy, Guillermo Kekalainen, so in Columbus, if I'm not wrong. So, but I don't know. It's a good question. So I'm not sure. So yeah, that's. It all depends. It's all philosophy of the club, what they want to do. Now hockey is, I always compare hockey to, maybe it's not a fair word to compare, so, but I'm a really big and huge fan of English Premier League. That's to me, it's example, like how you can create the club with a magnitude of skill, speed, and talent. And plus entertainment, so that's to me like it's a Liverpool, And I visited those clubs this year before World Juniors. I was in Liverpool, I was in Manchester United, and in Chelsea. So and then I 2 years ago I went with Ralph Kruger to Southampton. So that's to me like it's if the any NHL team would like to create something, but it's different. So obviously you got to go through the draft system and plus. you can sign some free agents, but in Europe, so you know, basically there is a price tag for any player, but it's a fair play too. So there's the guys from Abu Dhabi who owns that a city, or a Glazer family who owns the Man United or Liverpool, the guys from Brian Brooks, the neighborhood from Boston. So those guys know what they're doing, and they got the right people. And they got people like a coach in that league, which is like a phenomenal league, and it's fun to watch. And a lot of, like, you know, for example, Liverpool, German guy. City, Pep Guardiola from Spain. You know, well, Chelsea, obviously, it's Frank Lampard, so but was Jose Mourinho. And then, who else? And the Man United, they are Solskjaer, so they're Norwegian guy. So basically, it's all about, like, the philosophy and in direction of the club. So that's kind of my thought about, like, who is going to be, if the Russian GM going to be one day in the National Hockey League.
It'd be really interesting, and certainly some doors should be open for some great thinkers in the game like yourself. Really quickly, we only have a couple minutes left with you. I wanted your thoughts on the Russian Five documentary. I saw it at its debut here in Canada, and thankfully, you know, Scotty Bowman, Brendan Shanahan were there. I just thought it was a beautiful story from the director, Josh Reel. I wanted your thoughts, though. Did you like the portrayal of it and the story told there in the Russian Five doc?
Very, very accurate. So I can tell you that it's a credit goes to Josh. Yeah, Josh is he's a good young man. So he's been creating that documentary for a long time. And obviously, Kit gave who wrote the story. So Kit was like working for the Detroit Free Press when I played for Detroit. So and I guess the combination of the right facts and the right story. So I think I thought the film was done really nicely.
Yeah, it was really beautifully told. If you haven't seen that yet, Russian Five, the documentary by director Josh Reel, a really great story. We got time, I think, for one more quick question. Berkey, why don't you jump in?
Okay. Yeah, I was there too, David. I don't know why get mentioned, but I was there too. Igor, you played in Switzerland years ago, and now the Swiss are turning out, and the Germans, this draft will be heavy with Germans. Some non-traditional countries cranking out players all of a sudden, kind of like we were talking about here a minute ago.
Well, Brian, you know what? I would like to stick on the show for longer. So, you know, you give me a lot of good questions. So, and then I can't really answer them in about one or two words. So I'm, I've been kind of involved in the now youth hockey. So basically, I will coach the team in Edmonton in December, in Christmas time. So, and I've been watching the Swiss and German teams, and you can see the hockey is growing in Europe. So, and I'm so happy to see so many talented players. And obviously, it's in Switzerland, so it's a North American influence. The coaches and the system and the fast pace and also the work. Individual stuff of the players, so you can see a lot of talent coming out of those countries. I think it's good for the game. I think it's great for the game.